We continue with reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we go into the second chapter further. And we talk about how God reveals his word to us, how he reveals his truth to us. Now, this is a very, very important text to study because it talks about how the Spirit of God actually works in revealing of the scriptures to us. Now, this must not be taken for granted because a lot of times we think that when we read the scriptures, when we dwell on it, we memorize it, we think we have understood everything there is to it. We haven't. Well, so let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Well, so let's take a look at this particular text very, very carefully, phrase by phrase, because it's going to be important for us. This has to do with the understanding of the scriptures, right? And we have to understand that. First, the scriptures come from God. That's important. The source of the scriptures is God himself. He is essentially the divine author. And so he knows the thoughts, the words, the phrases, the intention, the purpose, the power behind every single word given to us. We cannot fathom God's word without the Spirit's help. We cannot understand the scriptures on our own. We need to understand the author's mindset. We need to know his heart and his spirit. And we need to understand that God himself must reveal his word to us, or our reading of the Lord's word won't go very far at all. Right? So how is this done? And Paul tells us very plainly, very clearly, this would come through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is vital. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Now, the question is how? Now, that is going to be an important question that we need to raise again and again because it's not a straightforward answer. I wish I can tell you this is how one step one, two, three. It's not. It's a little bit more complex than that, but we can learn, right? So let's begin with some understanding of how the Spirit works. Why we say it is through the Spirit, right? First, we read, the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So that's the thing that we want to look at. If we are looking at general things, we look at facts, we look at details, we look at data, it's straightforward, it's there. There's nothing very much beyond the data. It's a matter of collating them. That's what it is. But if we are looking for deeper things, we are looking for symbols. We are looking for hidden meanings. We are looking for truth. We are looking for deeper understanding. Well, the deeper things of God can only come to us if God truly reveals them to us through his Spirit. Now, this is an important thing for us to understand. There is general knowledge. There's factual things that's easy to obtain. We can talk about Abraham, his wife's name is called Sarah. That's not a problem. If we say Isaac's wife is called Rebecca, okay, that's not a problem. Those are facts. Those are general knowledge. They can be easily acquired. Even a child can acquire them. That's it. But if we are trying to understand the faith of Abraham, how he could, contrary to hope, in hope believed, how could he have that kind of faith? How could he not be weak in faith? How could he be not wavering? Now, all of these things are deep things, and they cannot be understood with the human mind alone. So the deep things of God can only be fathomed if the Spirit of God will impart that deep knowledge of God to us. Right? The idea of the covenant of God is not an easy concept to study. But a deep concept of the covenant of God can only be really understood where the Spirit of God reveals those things to us. Otherwise, it cannot be done. Right? So when we look at this whole idea of the knowledge of God, then we begin to realize how vast that knowledge is. Right? So if we were to turn to, for example, the book of Job, and if we can quickly turn to it, we'll catch a glimpse of what that is. When God said to Job, and also to all his friends, but basically to Job, and God raised this big question. The Lord answered Job. Now, obviously, it's to Job. And God, out of the whirlwind, where was God to be found? Out of the whirlwind. And the whirlwind is a mighty wind. It's complex and it's frightening. It is power, right? A whirlwind can destroy anything. It can destroy houses. It can uproot trees. It can cause a lot of disruption. That is the power of the whirlwind. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And then he raised this question. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? There we read in the whole book of Job, chapter 1 to 37. The arguments that Job had with his three friends plus one more. And they were arguing back and forth. What does it mean when a person is going through trials and tribulation that Job was going through? And the friends of Job were arguing that it must be because God is punishing Job and he must have sinned somewhere, somehow. Sometime that Job must have hidden sins, and they were arguing back and forth. And Job was insisting that it is not true, that he had not sinned against God so badly, and he just kept on defending his innocence, and he just kept on saying that he was not guilty of anything for God to chasten him the way he was going to experience it. And so we read for 37 chapters, Look at the book of Job, you begin, and the debates sometimes become very deep. Sometimes the methods used by his friends became very devious, and there were many, many, many things that went wrong in the arguments. God steps in and he asks, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now that is a problem. A lot of times we give counsel. We give words, but our words of counsel are without the deep knowledge of God. And without the deep knowledge of God, our counsel is worth nothing. In fact, our counsel will be like the darkening of good counsel. Counsel becomes dark when man's knowledge is pitted against God's knowledge. And that becomes a problem. So God raises questions, many, many questions, 38, 39, and so God raises questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And so at the end of it all, chapter 42, Job answered and said this, I know that you can do everything. No purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? And this was Job's confession. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Job was defending himself left, right, center. He was coming up with argument after argument against all his friends. And some of his arguments were very good arguments. You read the book of Job, and they sound very solid, very strong. And yet, to God, those arguments were, God says, words without knowledge. They were things that darken counsel. Imagine, the best of human arguments is classified under all these things here. And Job admitted, you ask, who is this who hides counsel? Without knowledge. In other words, a counsel can be given, and yet there is lacking in knowledge. And Job had to admit, this is his admission, I uttered what I did not understand. He argued, he presented his reasoning, but then he now admits, I have uttered what I did not understand fully, that is. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Right? And so this was what Job had to confess. I spoke of things that were actually too wonderful, Too profound, in other words, for me to understand. I spoke of those things as if I knew them. But the knowledge that Job had was actually very little compared to what was needed. And so he said to God, "Lord, please listen. Let me speak. You said, I will question you. You shall answer me." Right? And so he said to God, this is where I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. In other words, my knowledge of God is what I have heard and learned about you. But now my eyes sees you. Now I understand you speaking to me directly. Now I understand the great things that you are saying. Well, God, this is how I see myself now. I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. In other words, he says, no more. I am not going to say anything anymore because I really don't know. And so after the Lord had spoken those words to Job, well, then the Lord expressed his anger against his friends to Eliphaz the Temanite. And he said, my wrath is roused against you and your two friends. You have not spoken of me what is right, right? As my servant Job has. Even Job, though Job was not incorrect, it was still counsel that was dark, without deep knowledge. But whereas the friends called Eliphaz, the Temanites, and others, they were entirely wrong, right? And so they were. And so if they will not ask Job to pray for them, God would not even hear their prayers. Well, this is the knowledge of God that we are talking about. So if we want to really understand the deep things of God, well, the only way in which we can ever receive the deep things of God is when the Spirit of God reveals them to us. And we are going to catch a little bit of glimpse of this right now. So how does it really, really work on this matter here? Right. So let's look at it very carefully. While we have a greater understanding of the book of 1 Corinthians now. And while we may have a little glimpse of how the Holy Spirit works, let's do this very humbly and realize that there are many deep things that we are trying to explore. Right? So this is very important how we need to look at this very carefully. Right? So Paul went on to say, what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man? So how can we know the things of God except by the Spirit of God? And so Paul went on to talk about this very, very carefully. How do we know? It's very important that we distinguish between what we call the spirit of the world rather than and distinguish from the spirit that is from God. Right? So the spirit of the world and the spirit of God, sometimes we cannot even know how to distinguish between the two, because they sound alike to the person who is not very discerning. We like to appear to be discerning, but actually it's very difficult to tell. But Paul tells us very clearly, we must understand this, how this actually works things, how this works out, right? So there we go. There is a spirit of the world that you want to watch out for. There is a spirit that is from God that we want to know, so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And we need to look at the difference between one and the other. And so we understand this a little bit better, right? So how do we apply this? And again, here, very carefully, we're going to start with this point, standpoint here. Let's acknowledge the work of the Spirit of God. So in a study of the Lord's Word, we need to look at this very carefully. First, we begin with a knowledge that we need the Spirit of God to give to us that understanding, that insight, the depth, the comprehension to understand the deep things of God. Otherwise, we can't. Will it come to a person naturally? No. Will it come to a person easily? No. Will it come to a person because you're older and you're more experienced? No. This is a special work of the Spirit of God. And it is going to be very, very important for us to understand. Well, you see, the work of the Spirit of God has become very obvious. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 3. For example, God's Spirit can speak to little boy Samuel. God can reveal things to little boy Samuel, because that is how God can choose to speak, which is a direct contrast, because God refuses to speak to Eli. the old man. Right? So this is the realm of the Spirit of God. So we have to begin very humbly by acknowledging that we enter into the realm of the spiritual and we need the work of the Spirit of God within us. Well, let's begin here. We pray together and then we pursue this next week further. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge to know the work of the Spirit of God. Help us to recognize how badly we need the Spirit. Help us to be careful of our own human spirit and the spirit of the world that will often disguise itself as the Spirit of God. Help us to be far more discerning than we are. We pray that you will speak to us and help us to read your word carefully. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.